I want for a few moments tonight to bring a word, the word of the gospel, and to share a word of testimony. The verse that I want to leave with you tonight here in 2 Timothy is the chapter 1 and the verse 12. They are, of course, the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." What a great word of assurance here the Apostle Paul brings to us. There's no doubt about it, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." That day, we could say, the day of death, the day of judgment, the day of our departure from this world, that time when we will come before a holy God. And what a time that will be. But I suppose tonight that most people have what we would call, I'm thinking about religious people. I'm not speaking about the redeemed of the Lord. But I think most saved people have what we would call a religious creed. When they think of death and when they think of eternity. And what is it? What is this religious creed? Well, I think we've often heard it over and over again when we speak to people. They very often will say, "Well, I am hoping all will be well with me. I'm hoping that all will be well," but then very often they add the words, "I cannot be sure. I can't be sure." So they're hoping that when death comes, that perhaps their good deeds or their good works will tip the balance, and they're hoping that all will be well. But there's doubt there, isn't there? And of course, where there is doubt, there is fear. There is fear. And here is the question that I want us to think about tonight. When we think about the gospel, is this what the gospel amounts to? Doubt and fear? Is this the message of the gospel? Is this what God has left to men? A message of doubt and fear. God having given to us his Son, his only begotten Son, to die for us upon that cross on Calvary. Does it all end in this? Is this the end? Well, I hope, I'm just hoping that all will be well with me when I come to die. No, men and women, the gospel is more than that. The gospel is a greater, greater message than that. That is the creed of many dear religious people who are sincere in what they believe and all the rest. But you see, there is doubt and there is fear. I am hoping that all will be well. But the Apostle Paul gives us here a great word of assurance. "For I know," he says, "whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And there, just in the reading of the scriptures as well, that verse 7 is a wonderful verse. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." It's not a great verse of scripture. We're living in a day and in an age where there's a great deal of fear, a great deal of depression. Now, any of us, even the child of God undoubtedly, can pass through a time of depression. But we're living in a generation of awful, what we might call, mental illnesses, more than ever before, perhaps. And we sympathize with people that pass through it. Young people and older people, it's a day of fear and it's a day of anxiety. But God hath not given us, that is the Christian who is born again of the Holy Spirit of God who knows Christ, the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and note the words, and of a sound mind, a sound mind. And that's a wonderful thing, to have a sound mind. So here we have this great statement of assurance given to us by the Apostle Paul. That is, what is he saying to us here in a nutshell? The Apostle Paul here is telling us, as indeed the whole of Scripture tells us and teaches very clearly, that a person may know that they are saved. Saved in this life, even here and now, as we pass through this life. We can have the assurance of salvation. You can have the assurance of salvation here and now, and as you proceed in the days to come, you may have that assurance that you're saved and that you're going to be with the Lord forever and ever. That's good to keep that in mind, isn't it? Yes, we can get very much down in this life and in this old world. But you know, we don't think of heaven enough. Our brother sung for us tonight about the cross. When I survey the wondrous cross. And of course, Christ died upon the cross to save us. And to save us here and now from sin. And to save us from hell. And to take us to be with himself forever and forever. Now, are we looking forward to that? Are we looking forward when our time comes? We have, yes, we have our work here to do. We have our responsibility and all the rest. But brethren, are we looking forward to heaven and to glory? Are we looking forward to going on to be with the Lord for all eternity? Now, that's salvation, isn't it? That's salvation. And that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking about. That he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Well, he committed his soul. The salvation of his soul. A lot of people today think that we're just a higher form of animal. That's all we are. A little bit better than the bullock or the beast in the field. Or the donkey. That's all we are. Just a higher form of animal life. But men and women tonight, man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. We have a spirit too, a mind. And, praise God, we have a soul, a living soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Are you saved and converted tonight? Have you thought about it? Have you thought about how awful it is to be lost for all eternity? Now, I suppose when you get, maybe we can, in the meeting tonight, you can just sympathize with what I'm going to say. But somehow or another, when you get on a little bit, very often you don't just sleep as well as when you were younger, although I must say I sleep fairly well, by and large. And I hope you're sleeping well too. But sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night. Especially if you go to bed too early, you might wake up at 3:30 or 4:00, and you wake up. And very often, I'd say 9 times out of 10, when I wake up at 3:30 or 4:00, I'd be awake for a wee while, and very often I go back to sleep again. But what do I think about? 9 times out of 10, brethren, I tell you tonight what I think about. I just thank God that my soul is not in hell. Do you ever think of that? Do you ever thank God you're not in hell? It was the old Puritan preacher Richard Baxter who said that when the believer awakens every morning, it's the first thing we should thank the Lord for, that we're not in hell and lost. People today don't believe in a hell. They don't believe in a lost eternity at all. And so they're careless. We are careless ourselves in our witness and in our testimony. We're careless in the work of God. There's not the urgency about us that there should be. And souls are perishing. Hell is real. I thank God tonight that by his grace that I am saved. Here then is the certainty. He says, I know. What a wonderful, wonderful word that is. To know. We like to know things, don't we? Here's intimate, saving knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Christ is the object here of our saving knowledge. I must say that I was brought up in a home and in a background completely ignorant of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was brought up in a Roman Catholic background way down the Midlands in the County Kilkenny. Born into a Roman Catholic home. We didn't have a Bible, knew nothing at all of the Word of God. Didn't know the simple truths of the gospel. Ignorant of all of that. And brought along to the chapel every Sunday by my mother, my sister Anne, brought there every Sunday. Brought up through that system there, seeing the priest on the altar, saying Mass and going through prayers, worshipping of Mary and saints and all the rest. In fact, we were taught really to trust in Mary and not in Christ at all. That's the sad reality of Romanism. It turns the minds and the hearts of the people, not to Christ, but rather to Mary. And there we were every Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year. And when I left school, I wasn't a very promising scholar, but I left school and I went to work for a man for a while, a farmer, Victor Bennett. And he was Church of Ireland man, and he was a saved man. And he knew the Lord. And he gave me his testimony and told me the way of salvation. He was the first man in our little village at home that told me the way of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Church of Rome does not tell people the way of salvation, the way to be converted. We were on outreach the other day, and I would just ask you in passing as well to remember us in our outreach work over in Donegal. Myself and Mr. Brother Colin Maxwell and Pastor Mullen, we take days out over in Donegal, an outreach work, and we were way over in Donegal the other day with calendars, and I put a calendar into this house beside the chapel. And just as I was, we're just putting them into the letter boxes. And just as I was walking away, the priest came to the door. And I said, we're putting out calendars. And I said, that's a calendar for you for next year. Calendar, you know, the calendar we use with all the scripture verses on it. And there's a message of the gospel on it as well, explaining the gospel very clearly. He says to me, do you believe in the Eucharist? Oh, I said, I do. I do believe in the Eucharist. I said, I believe in the bread, and I believe in the wine in the cup, and I believe in the Lord's Supper. He says, do you go to Mass? No, I said, I don't go to Mass. Well, here, take back your calendar. So he wouldn't take the calendar. But that dear man in blindness and in darkness also, worshipping a wafer and worshipping their own invention of a God. How good it is. I trust you're praying. Do you pray for the outreach in the south of Ireland? Pray for the outreach there in Donegal as well. We're always very encouraged with our outreach to see how many people come. Here from all different parts, young people as well, give up their time to come on the outreach, way down south and over in the west of Ireland and so on. But praise God tonight that the Lord opened my eyes. I had no Bible, no knowledge at all of the gospel, depending upon a priest and a church and a chapel, upon saints and everything else. But men and women, the gospel is so clear and so simple. It's all to do with a person, the person of Christ. Jesus Christ is all you need. And he is the only one that can save you. Even though your Protestant background, Presbyterian, Methodist, makes no difference. Church of Ireland. There's only one way to heaven for all. And that is through Christ. And ye must be born again. That dear man, he's in glory now, but he planted the seeds of the gospel in my heart at a young age. 15 or 16 or thereabouts. And I went away from his employment, went out into the world, got in with company, bad company, drinking and all the rest and the party life. And I remember one day meeting a friend of mine, is still alive and still working for God, and he had told me how the Lord had saved him and delivered him. He'd been on the verge of committing suicide. And isn't there an awful lot of that too in our day? And let us pray for young people and older people. Because as we've read in this verse, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And men and women, God is able to give those that are on the brink, he's able to give them a sound mind and strengthen them and bless them. And he gave me his testimony. And that night I came to see him. And I didn't understand a whole lot, but I knew one thing. I knew that that man had planted the seeds of the gospel in my heart. And I never forgot that. Isn't it a strange thing, even at that age? I never forgot the message of salvation. Even though I had gone away out into the world and company and everything else. You see, we forget that one of the most precious work we can do is to sow the seed of the gospel. Sow the seed. It's good seed. The Lord Jesus reminds us in Matthew 13, it is the good seed. And his word will not return unto him void. And that night, back in 1974, just before Christmas time, maybe around this time of year, I trusted the Lord for salvation. Didn't know much, had no Bible, until I got a copy of one of the Gospels. It might have been John's Gospel. There was a little prayer union, Faith Mission Prayer Union in the village, and there the Lord's people met for to pray. And they met once a week there to pray, and I used to join with them and others as well. And there's where I started to pray. Though very slowly and very timidly, began to pray, began to read the Word of God, started to attend meetings. And shortly after I was converted, I left the Church of Rome. Oh, you know, it makes my heart bleed, makes my heart sad, because the worst thing that ever happened to Ireland was the coming of the Church of Rome. I don't want to get into politics. People say it was blame the English for everything. My wife is English, so I have to be very careful what I say now tonight. Ireland blames England for everything. But the worst invader, I say this, the worst invader that ever came to the shores of Ireland was the Church of Rome. And all the misery and the hardship that it has brought upon the land. Oh, may God deliver this land from the power of such and save the people. When you go back to the days of Patrick, what days they were. And many of the evangelists who traveled the length and breadth of the land went over to England with the gospel, went to Scotland, went to Switzerland with the gospel. And then Rome came, that apostate church, and brought an awful curse and a blight upon the land. May God deliver us. Aye, and deliver us from ecumenism as well. That's so dangerous. Well, I trusted the Lord. And after I was converted, I left the Church of Rome. I thank God. Where would I be tonight if the Lord in his mercy had not opened my eyes and saved me and delivered me and brought me out? There was great opposition. There was great opposition at home in the village. Because that's going back a right few years ago. And not like today, nobody cares what you profess. Nobody cares what you do. Down in the south of Ireland, you can believe what you like. Nobody passes any heed. But back then, it was a little bit different. And after I was converted and saved, there was a lot of opposition. And I had to leave home, the district where I was brought up. But I wouldn't be the first one. I always say that. People have had to not only leave their land, but got off to another land. I didn't have to do that. People have been killed. I wasn't killed. People have been tortured. They've been imprisoned. But oh, there's always a price to be paid, isn't there? There's always a price. Even Protestant people have suffered that too. Even from loved ones and neighbors when they have got converted and left and come out of the apostasy. Oh, the devil is ever active. He's ever active. But I thank God for that day. My grandfather, I was brought up for the most part with my grandfather and aunt. My grandfather was a very staunch Roman Catholic. And he brought me to see down to see the priest in the village to try and get him to persuade me not to leave. And I remember my grandfather telling the priest so very clearly. He said, you know, he said, I was brought up to believe that we were the one true faith and anyone outside the Roman Catholic Church was lost. Now, that's the way he was brought up as a young lad himself. But the priest didn't agree with him. And the priest said, no, he says, I don't believe that. He was maybe a one-off in that sense. But they do believe they're the one true faith. And they're a different outfit when they haven't got the power, when they're in the minority, when they're kept down. But they're a different kettle of fish altogether. They're a different breed altogether when they have the power. And when they have the power, you'll know about it. And so will I. When they have the authority, you'll feel it. And let us pray that they'll never have that authority over us in the things concerning the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that God would open the eyes of the people and save them. I thank God he has saved me and given to me his word. And that led me on with himself. After a while, I went to the Faith Mission Bible College in Edinburgh. And that's where I met my wife, Elaine. And we have gone on through the years. I was in Liverpool, and there I met the Reverend Hillis Fleming. And it was through Hillis that I came into the Free Church all those years ago, over 30 years now. And our brother, of course, has gone to be with the Lord. And he was a great help and encouragement to us. It's wonderful, listen, how the Lord leads and guides. If anyone had told me as a young lad growing up where I would end up, well, I would have denied it. And I would have wondered at it. But it's wonderful to think about the leading of God. And I praise him tonight for so great salvation. Notice here the clear view of a personal Christ. Three times in the verse, he says, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Have you trusted the Lord as yet? Now think about your privileges tonight. Probably brought up in a good Sunday school. If you've come here to the church, you've heard the gospel from a child. And you've sat under the gospel. And you know it so well. What are you depending on to get into heaven? Is it the church? Is it your background? Is it your good works? Dear soul, you'll fail. You'll come short. You'll come short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, or Peter rather, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whereby we must be saved. And there's the precious key. And the key is in this verse. It is believeth. He that believeth. To believe is to trust. To rely upon. And to come to him. And believe his word. And believe what he has said. Dear soul, I trust you will do that, ere it be too late. My grandfather, when he was dying, and I was over in Liverpool at the time, and I went to see him, and he was ill at the time, and yet I had an opportunity of speaking to him about the gospel and about the Lord Jesus Christ and about trusting the Lord. And I remember asking him when he was on his deathbed, I said, will you trust Christ? Will you trust the Lord for salvation? He said, I will. And I believe he did. That very same day, some of the family there called for the priest to come to give what they call the last rites. And it used to be, I don't know how it is now, that the last rites, the priest would tell the people, it's between you and God. That's the way they leave it, between you and God. But I remember the priest came, and he went to see him in the room, and he came up out of the room. Now, I didn't speak to him. I didn't see him as such. Well, I saw him, but I didn't get speaking to him. But he said to some of the family on the way out, he didn't stay long at all, he said to some of the family on the way out, he said that my grandfather had said to him, he said, I'm all right. I have nothing to confess to you. I have nothing to say. And I thought that spoke volumes. You see, there is life for a look at the crucified one. Life for a look. A look is not much, isn't it? It's a brief thing, a look. Like as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Those that were conscious of their disease and wanted a cure went outside the camp and they looked. And the moment they looked and believed, they were cleansed. Now that salvation tonight, dear friend, you can seek to work for it all you like, you'll fail. And do what you may. You must look to Christ and look to him tonight and be converted before it be too late. We do not know what a night is going to bring to us. We know not what a day may bring forth. We know not what this night will bring for any of us. We don't even know what the next hour will bring for any of us. You ought not delay and be careless and to go out of this world not saved and to be lost for all eternity is an awful thing. Let's bow in a word of prayer. And if you want to speak to me or to our brother here that has sung for us or some of the elders, we'd be very glad to help you. But dear friend, don't think you have to speak to us. As we're bound in prayer,